Thank you, Prem. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthanilam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. And Prashanthanilam truly is a beehive of devotees now. Devotees from all parts of India and all corners of the globe have assembled to drink the nectar of His love and His divine presence in this sacred hamlet. Every day is a festival of love. On November 18, the students of Bhagwan presented to him such a lovely bouquet of dance and song. It was entitled Bhakti Bhava Pravaham, the stream of divine love, and it was an offering of the Prashanti dance group, the group of students who were blessed to perform in the divine presence scores of dance performances. Not only that, they were trained and guided by Bhagwan physically to dance to not anything else but only to His music and His message. And today they come up with such meaningful and reinvigorating performances which integrates excellent art with matchless messages, both so beautifully packaged. This performance was about the 9 types of devotion and their inner significance too. Brilliant compositions of music and rhythm. This was really a spectacular performance. If you missed it, watching it live on November 18th, please go to Radio Sai's video archives and enjoy this. You will relish every frame of this presentation. In fact, I too missed it seeing it live because of preoccupations in the office, but loved every moment of the video. And just to give you a flavor of how it was, here is one song from this 1 hour dance medley. There were 7 songs and each one was exceptional, but this one which I'm going to play for you now was on Hanuman, and this came towards the end. Just enjoy this song for a couple of minutes. So that's how the Hanuman song goes. It's fantastic. You can download it from our website at any time. You can go to radiosai.org and you love not only this song, but you love all the other songs too in this program that was presented in front of Bhagwan, Bhakti Bhava Prabaham, by the Prashanti Dance Group on November 18th. And this stream of divine love continues, as I mentioned, every day in Prashantalam. Yesterday, November 20th, was another such blissful day. What a devotional offering it was by the distinguished classical devotional singer, Miss Padmaja Faneni Jogalkar. She has been awarded Padma Shri, one of the highest civilian awards by the government of India. And the songs she sang yesterday, in fact, more than the songs, the feeling that were embedded in them simply moved your heart. Her sincere and deep love for Bhagwan was so obvious and so infectious. Let me just play for you a small clip of what she said between her songs. This was about 20 minutes after she started performing. It's really very moving.
आज मुझे याद आ रहा है 12 साल पहले का वो दिन. सुबह का सेशन चालू था. एक प्रख्यात बहुत बड़ी गायिका मेरे साथ में बैठी थी. उन्होंने कहा, पद्मजा तुम इतनी दूर तो आई हो बंबई से, लेकिन तुम्हें गाने का मौका नहीं मिलेगा क्योंकि बाबा के सामने गाने का मौका बहुत रेयरली मिलता है. मैंने बाबा को मन से बहुत दिल से विनती की कि बाबा मुझे सिर्फ एक ही चीज दीजिए जो मेरा गाना मेरे गाने से आपको आनंद मिले, बस दूसरा कुछ भी नहीं चाहिए. एक 10 मिनट में बाबा ने मेरी विनती सुन ली होगी और यहीं से अनाउंसमेंट हो गई. मुझे अभी ऐसे लग रहा है कि 12 साल पहले की बात अभी हो रही है. यहां से अनाउंसमेंट हो गई, विश्व विख्यात पद्मश्री पद्मजा फेनानी जोगलेकर जी का गायन आज दोपहर में 4 बजे है. वो सुन के मुझे इतना, मैं घबरा गई. मुझे मालूम है मैं विश्वविख्यात तो हूं नहीं, लेकिन बाबा की तो इच्छा है मैं हो जाऊं, ऐसा आशीर्वाद तो उन्होंने दे दिया. उसके बाद दोपहर में जब 4 बजे यहां पे बैठ के गाना मेरा हो गया, तो सबने मुझे कहा था बस 2-3 गाने हो जाने के बाद बाबा बस कहेंगे. मैं देखती रही, 2 गाने हो गए, 3 हो गए, 8-9 भजन हो गए. उसके बाद बाबा ने मुझे बहुत भर भर के आशीर्वाद दे गया. वहां से मैं जाके वहां ऑडियंस में जाके बैठ गई. सब कार्यक्रम खत्म हो जाने के बाद बाबा कार से वहां जाके जा रहे थे वापस. प्रोग्राम खत्म होने के बाद दूर से उन्होंने हाथ दिखाया. मुझे लगा और किसी को दिखाया होगा, मैं तो पहली दफा आ रही थी. लेकिन हां, बाबा ने वो आशीर्वाद मुझे ही दिया था और सबको ही दिया था. बाबा नजदीक आ गए. कार में से उन्होंने मुझे पूछा, वेयर हैव यू कम फ्रॉम? आई सेड, आई हैव कम फ्रॉम बॉम्बे, मुंबई. वन थिंग आई वॉन्टेड टू टेल यू टूडे, आई एम वेरी हैप्पी, आई एम वेरी हैप्पी. ये शब्द सुन के मुझे तो लगता है जीवन का सार्थक हो गया. मेरे जीवन का सबसे सुंदर दिन था वो. जिस चीज के लिए हम जीते हैं, भगवान के आशीर्वाद के लिए, उनको आनंद मिलना चाहिए, इसलिए वो उनके मुख से आ गया. बस मेरे आंखों से आंसू के सिवा दूसरा कुछ नहीं था. और एक भजन पेश करती हूं. ये भजन कन्नड़ भजन है और ये मैं पहली दफा गा रही हूं. आप कुछ इसमें गड़बड़ हो गई तो प्लीज प्लीज माफ कर देंगे और समझ लेंगे। पुरंदर विठला जी का भजन है, इसमें वो कहते हैं पुरंदर विठला इज सेइंग, व्हाट रॉन्ग हैव आई डन दैट गॉड हैड नॉट दैट गॉड हैड टू वेट फॉर मी एंड व्हाई ही इज एंग्री ऑन मी। पुरंदर दासा इज फीलिंग वेरी सॉरी, वेरी सैड, और वो भगवान से रिक्वेस्ट कर रहे हैं मुझे आशीर्वाद दे दो।
कल्याणाद्भुत गात्राय कामितार्थ प्रदायिने श्रीमद्व्यंकटनाथाय श्रीनिवासाय ते नमः। श्रीनिवासाय ते नमः।
सो दैट वाज व्हाट दिस डिस्टिंग्विश्ड सिंगर पद्मजा फेनानी जोगलकर सेड। इफ फॉर दोज ऑफ यू हु कुडंट अंडरस्टैंड व्हाट शी सेड इन हिंदी, she said how 12 years ago she had come to Prashanthi Nilayam and she was sitting in the crowd and someone told her, who was sitting next to her, that we know that you are a distinguished singer, but you know it is very difficult to get a chance to sing in front of Bhagwan, in the physical presence of Bhagwan, so do not even aspire for it, do not even expect that, and don't feel disappointed. And when she heard that, she just prayed sincerely to Swami from wherever she was sitting, asking her if only Swami can give her that chance, if only Swami can bless her that whatever she sings pleases him. She said, I don't want anything, Lord, just bless me that whenever I sing, whatever I sing, let it be an offering and pleasing to you, let it be pleasing to you. And she says she was stunned that in the next 10 minutes she heard the announcement in the stage on the dais that this evening at 4 p.m. you're going to listen to a performance by the world renowned artist Padmaja Fenani Joglekar. And she was stunned, she was shocked, she couldn't believe, and the performance went very well. Everyone said that she will get to sing 3 or 4 bhajans, and Swami asked her to sing 8-9 songs. And after that, as Bhagwan was retiring, Swami saw her from the car. And then Swami beckoned her, and she didn't believe that. She never thought it was Swami was calling her. And when she went near, Swami said, from where do you come from? And she said, I'm come from Mumbai. And then Swami said, today I'm very happy. I'm very happy. I'm very happy. And she says, what else? What else do I need in my life? My life has found fulfillment. On that day, my life was sanctified. All my long years of sadhana had found its goal. She needed nothing else. Well, what else can one aspire for in their life after Baba comes and tells you, I'm so happy, I'm so happy with you. I think this is the culmination of every soul's journey, every devotee's all endeavors. How can we purify ourselves a little more? How can we take one more step in our sadhana? How can we move a little more further in our pursuit of attaining Him so that we become near and dear to Him, so that He says, I am so happy, so that we feel Him closer and closer within us. And just to help all of us in this effort, about a fortnight ago on the Radio Sai website, you know, we welcomed all the devotees to share what is that one chance, one change that they want to bring in their lives from this birthday, which will make them happier and make Swami proud. And I must tell you, we received so many responses from world over. Each one is simply so inspiring. Let me just share with you a couple of these emails that we have been receiving last 15 days. You have Miss Claudia from Mauritius saying, Swami, as a birthday gift, I promise that I will control my anger and the vagaries of my mind. I will do Namasmarana. I love you, Swami. Another lady, Miss Arula Rasi from Bangalore, who says, my birthday offering to you, Swami, is my ceiling on my food. Swami, my resolution is to eat only self-cooked food from today, not any outside food. Another youngster, Meera Krishna Mohan Krishnan, says, Swami, I pledge to be patient and calm. I will also cut my ego. I promise not to back answer my parents. This is a promise. Like this, we have received hundreds of resolutions and declarations, and each one of them so recharging, so uplifting. You can read all of them, dear listeners, on our website, edusai.org. You can even send yours till November 2nd morning, because after that we are going to make a beautiful card of all these promises and offer it to Bhagwan on the birthday morning, on November 23rd morning. It's really so heartening reading all these heartful resolutions from all over the world. In fact, it makes one feel that this is what Swami always wanted. This is the reason why the Almighty, the one who is beyond time and space, beyond any limitations, encased himself in a flesh and bone human body, limited himself to the restrictions of a human frame, underwent so much physically, only so that we made this determination to march forward with passion, with patience, and with perseverance. In fact, reflecting on this, I and a colleague of mine just sat down just a couple of days ago and started discussing about Bhagwan's life, about how he did so many things which he could have easily avoided. There was no need for him to do many things that he did. And why did he do all that? And why did he live the way he lived? What was the message? So I and Harishankar discussed about this, about his life. And dear listener, this is what I'm going to play for you now in the next 45 minutes. And before I begin, I just want to pray to Bhagwan. Dear Lord, please hold our hand and be with us as we bring ourselves together to become your instruments of love and service. And with that prayer, let's move on and welcome, dear listeners, to this episode of Outside Inside Deep Inside. I'm Team Sai Bishu. The time in the studios now is 9:17, and now I'm going to play for you the conversation I had with Harishankar, who works in the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust. He's a former student of Bhagwan's University, and we discussed about the inspiring messages from the life of Bhagwan. On the evening of November 19th, we sat down in the studios and did this recording. So here it is. The inspiring life of Bhagwan, when we look at it from a very, very human standpoint, Bhagwan and his human self, and what we learn. Why did he live the way he lived?
How are you?
I'm very good, Bishu.
Today is 19th November, and in a couple of days we are going to celebrate Bhagwan's 88th birthday. And it feels so nice. Puttaparthi today had such wonderful celebration, Ladies' Day celebration.
Yes.
And this morning, as the panel discussion was going on, mm-hmm. you had so many very senior devotees and eminent ladies who spoke during the panel discussion. And one of the panelists was Dr. Neelam Desai.
Right.
And at one point, she mentioned how for her, work has become worship.
Right.
Literally, virtually, in every way, because she serves in Bhagwan's hospital, and that hospital stands for service to man and service to God. And she told, it becomes so easy for me. Every time I do anything, it is literally a worship to Bhagwan. And you know, as she was narrating about the hospital and saying, you know, there is no other hospital in the world offering this kind of care to the poor, I was just reminded of that declaration that Swami made about the hospital. You know, incidentally, we'll be celebrating the hospital's 23rd anniversary one day, the day prior Bhagwan's birthday, November 22nd. And I was reminded of that declaration that Swami made when he declared that he's going to start this hospital for the poor. You know, I was looking at that video a couple of days back. In fact, it so happened that we were seeing that video. When I say we, there were a few very senior trustees mm-hmm. of the Central Trust who were watching that video. And as we were seeing that scene where Bhagwan is making the declaration that there are so many hospitals in this country which cater to the needs of the rich, but where will the poor go?
Yes.
What happens to them if they get a major ailment like heart ailment, which are so expensive, I'm going to build a hospital. It is going to be a 100 crore hospital. It is going to look after their, not only heart problem, it is going to look after their lungs. You know, Swami went on to say that it is going to look after a whole host of problems, and it's not only is going to cure them, they'll get free medicines, they'll get free stay, free inpatients, everything is going to free, and it is going to happen. It is going to happen next year.
Yes.
You know, the passion with which Swami was speaking that day.
Yes.
This was the year 1990, right?
1990, yes. On 22nd November 1990.
Yes. And when you saw the passion, you know, that energy, that vigor, that zeal in Swami.
Yes.
You know, it was so infectious.
Absolutely.
Divinely infectious. And
yes.
One thing was, even when we were watching this, I just saw a tear escape from the eyes of one of the trustees, very senior trustee, very respected trustee. Means I could just feel, you know, he was someone who has lived with Swami at close, you know, served Swami at close quarters for us in at least 30, 40 years.
Yes.
And I think what I could see from his eyes, you know, was that, like, how much Swami always, how much his heart was all the time beating for the poor, you know.
Yes.
That I could see. I could see the reflection in the trustee's eyes, because he has seen that day in and day out, how Swami was
at
always...
At very close quarters.
Very close quarters. Swami. How Swami is all the time moved to do something for those who really need.
Absolutely.
And as we were watching, the scene came where the first operation was performed, you know, Swami is declaring that, you know, the next year's scene. Basically, it is a documentary in hospitals where Swami says the first operation was performed, four operations were performed, and Swami is so enthusiastic. And there are scenes of Dr. Venugopal, the eminent cardiac surgeon of India, who had come to do this initial operation.
Yeah, he was from the All India Institute of Medical Sciences, and he was consulting because the hospital was being built under a panel of several such eminent doctors.
Yes.
So
yes.
He was from All India Institute of Medical Sciences, which is a premier hospital in this country.
Yes. So you had those scenes of Swami, you know, so happy, Swami congratulating Dr. Venugopal, etc. And, you know, as that scene came, suddenly they asked us to pause the video.
Right.
And one of these trustees, he said, you know, you may not know this. I was there and a few other of my colleagues were there. You may not know this. When Bhagwan was in the hospital in April 2011, and he was in the ICU, and, you know, his body was undergoing so much of pain and all that. At this point, one day Dr. Venugopal flew down.
Right.
And he went straight to Bhagwan's hospital, and instantly, you know, Swami went to the same hospital in which he had built for the poor.
Yes.
When his body needed something, he went to the same hospital.
His own hospital.
His own hospital. And Dr. Venugopal went to the ICU, Swami's chamber, and the moment Swami saw Dr. Venugopal, you know, even though Swami was in the ICU and, you know, all these machines are connected to his body, Swami desperately wanted to speak, and he was saying they couldn't make up. Swami was asking Dr. Venugopal, how are you?
Oh.
How are you? And Dr. Venugopal, Swami, how are you? Your body is on the bed and all. But Swami was more keen asking, how are you?
Right.
You know, when the trustee narrated that, you know, he just could not stop crying. I mean, when someone is going through so much, you could just see, you know, it was so natural for Swami all the time that how are you, you know?
His mind was still...
All the time, on other person's welfare.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that is something, you know, having seen Bhagwan at close quarters for whatever few years that I have been fortunate, I think that is something which I remember constantly. All the time Swami is thinking about the other person. I don't know if you felt that same way, Hari.
Like, even as you narrated this incident, I was reminded of something that a student who had lived at very close quarters with Swami, he had narrated this. This was not very long back. In fact, we had noticed on many occasions that Swami during darshan, he would sometimes, you know, it looked like he's having difficulty breathing. And one such evening, as Swami returned back to the residence, the breathing difficulty was actually quite intense, quite acute on that day. So Bhagwan went up to his quarters, and there this student, he had a nebulizer ready, you know, to administer oxygen enriched air for Swami to make it, for so that he can breathe easier. And he put this mask on Swami's face, and even as he put the mask, Swami was saying something. And the student, he put the mask to Swami and he prayed, Swami, breathe. And Swami was yet speaking. Again he requested, Swami, please breathe deeply. And Swami continued to speak. So this boy had to hear what it is that Swami was saying. So he removed the mask from Swami. And you will not believe, in that moment of agony, not being able to breathe, And Swami was whispering out that what happened that day during evening darshan. He said, you know, there is a student who has been with us from primary school days and he completed his MBA also over here. And he's presently serving in our hospital. And he came to me with this letter. He said that his mother is suffering intensely from an illness. And his prayer is that I look after her. And, you know, I should do something for her. Why don't you send some vibhuti to that boy?
Oh my God.
And
but here is Swami is not able to breathe.
Yes, I can tell you from my experience, I used to have these breathing difficulties. And all your energies, your entire mental faculties also are just focused on one thing, to be able to breathe. And in such a moment, to be able to think. Yes, to have your mind set on, you know, some what is happening with someone else, what is happening in their life, how can I make a difference in their life. At such a moment, it is something really mind-boggling to think about the state of mind of Swami.
And I feel, you know, Bhagwan was able to, you know, physically, he was able to do that even in such moments because, you know, that's what he practiced all his life.
All his life, yes.
All his life.
Yeah.
In fact, there's another very moving incident that comes to my mind. In fact, this was again narrated by one of our brothers who had the chance to serve Swami at very close quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened after Bhagwan's first fracture, actually, in 2003. Swami had that first fracture and Swami was brought from the general hospital after a minor surgery. And
this was at Whitefield.
At Whitefield.
Right.
Again, it happened, I mean, the surgery was done in his own little hospital in Whitefield.
Yes.
Not in any other
yes.
outside hospital. And Bhagwan was actually being carried upstairs. His room is on the upstairs of Trey Vrindavan, his residence. And, you know, there were four boys who were carrying Bhagwan in a stretcher.
Mm-hmm.
And as Bhagwan was being taken up, they saw that Bhagwan was trying to say something. There was some sort of discomfort that Bhagwan was communicating. So one of these brothers, he went closer and, you know, tried to see where is the discomfort.
Right.
Maybe, you know, you have to adjust some pillows, maybe
make him more comfortable.
More comfortable.
Yeah.
But when he went near, Swami said he was trying desperately to communicate. You know,
right.
He was saying, Chudu, 4 or 5 doctors have come. You ensure that, you know, we give them tea, biscuits and they are comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard that, I mean, you're just being operated, you're just coming out, and I don't know, you probably would just come out of anesthesia. And Bhagwan was thinking about those doctors, you know, that person, brother who attending Swami, is totally shocked.
Yes, I think it's a very important lesson we see from Swami's own life, that life is really lived, it really happens when it is lived in the service of others. And you really
Absolutely.
Live when your heart beats for someone else. You know, not just
yeah.
for yourself. It's a very profound lesson.
As they say, if you're not living for others, then you're more dead than alive.
Absolutely. And Swami's entire life was this, you know, empowering someone else, giving life to someone else. And this is one constant theme, a recurring theme in his life. And I could see this, you know, when I came to Swami that I really could understand what are the depths of love. Like, when Swami loves somebody, he loves them so totally. He gives himself totally. He does not withhold anything back. It is as if the entire love that he has, he is ready to give it to that one person who is there right in front of him. And there is one very vivid memory I have of this. I recall there was one particular student and his father had passed away in pretty tragic circumstances. And his mother had, you know, with the limited funds that they had, she cobbled together enough to fund for their education. But at some point of time, even that was not enough. And the state of affairs in their family became such that this particular student who was then studying in the Vrindavan campus of our university, the mother had to write to the registrar saying that I do appreciate that the tuition that you are giving is totally free to my son. But with such dismay that I have to convey that I don't even have money to pay for the hostel, the nominal fees that you charge for my boy to be living in your hostel. And she said, is there any way that you can excuse our family from paying even the hostel fees?
Mm-hmm.
And this representation to the registrar, he had to take it to Swami as the chancellor of the university to sanction that scholarship. Swami came to know about the entire affair and he decided that he would give this scholarship personally to that student. And I did not know, of course, any of this background on the day when the student, he was in Puttaparthi, in Prashanti Nilayam. I remember the darshan, evening darshan, that day Swami had come by 2:45 and all these students who had their birthdays that day, Swami had already blessed them and he had retired to the interview room. This particular student, he came into Mandir at 4 p.m. because his classes had concluded that day at 3:45 and he sat behind me with this tray in his hand and I began thinking, what is this boy, you know, how does he fancy his chances of Swami now coming and blessing his tray because he has come this late? And you will not believe that boy had hardly settled down in his place when suddenly the interview room door flew open.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami walked out, with very quick steps.
Mm-hmm.
And he stood there in the hall. And from that distance, I could hear Swami call out to this boy and say, why did it take you this long?
Mm-hmm.
And for a moment, I was struck at, why is Swami so upset with this boy? But there was a lot of agitation on Swami's face. And Swami called this boy, I had no idea what was going on. I did not know any of this background. All I could see was Swami calling the student and calling the registrar and, he was talking in such an animated fashion. And then I got to know that Swami, what he had declared to the registrar that evening, he said, I am going to take care of this boy from top to toe. He is mine and I will take care of him.
So Swami was like restless. He was waiting to shower that
blessing. Yes, that agitation was just that, his suffering, it is still continuing. And he wanted to assure that boy that he had no more anything to fear because Swami was beside him. And Swami was waiting and waiting. And you see the connection between the devotee and God. The moment this boy sat, he just took his place in Mandir and immediately Swami was outside.
Wow. In fact, that reminds me of another, again, a very touching incident. It happened many years ago in Vrindavan. A group of rural people, they had come from North India.
Right.
And by the time they reached Vrindavan Ashram, it was in the early days, the Sairam Shed days. And
in Vrindavan.
In Vrindavan, yeah. Bangalore Ashram. And darshan was over. Swami had retired. And these people, they had come in one bus. And, it was a pilgrimage tour, so they are going to a few places in South India.
Okay.
And someone just told them that, there is this Sai Baba here in Bangalore wanting to go.
Right.
So they somehow squeezed some time to come to Vrindavan Ashram. So they didn't have really much time. So by the time they reached, Swami has already retired and they don't have enough time to wait for the next darshan in the afternoon. So, they just came and they were just sitting in the concrete. Yes, on the concrete. That time there's a rough concrete. Saram shed, the huge tree and this concrete. They're sitting there. And, just thinking what to do. They've just lost the chance. And Swami's retired. And they have just settled down and, they're just discussing in despondency what to do. And there is this whisper, Swami's coming, Swami's coming. And suddenly Swami has come out of his residence.
Oh.
Yeah. And Swami is walking straight, briskly Swami is walking straight to this group. And no one is there actually because, everyone has dispersed after darshan. No one is expecting Bhagwan to suddenly come out.
Yes.
And Ravi Kumar sir, who is the current warden of the Vrindavan hostel, he saw Swami and he rushed with a pair of slippers because, the ground was very hot.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost noon time.
Okay.
Ground was hot and it is concrete, so it was really very difficult to actually walk bare feet.
Bare feet on that.
And so he rushed with a pair of slippers and Swami, Swami just sort of dismissed him totally and almost in anger.
Yes.
Okay, and he actually was terrified. He just moved away and he went to this group and what language Swami spoke, we don't know, maybe it was Hindi. But Swami is like one with the group, okay? And Swami then immediately sent word, you get fruits. So he started distributing fruits to each one of them. Then he asked for a sweet. Sweet was distributed. Then he asked for some photographs. That was distributed. And Swami told them to sit in rows. And then Swami gave them namaskar.
Right.
The whole thing went on for more than half an hour, 45 minutes.
Great.
And then everyone was happy. All this group. And Swami also was extremely satisfied. And then Swami was walking back. Now, Ravi Kumar sir was very scared because he felt some wrong he has done because Swami was like so agitated, so angry when he offered. He thought there's something seriously wrong. So he was actually trying to look at Swami from some corner of the wall from the hostel because he was very scared
To approach Swami.
To approach Swami. But he didn't want to miss darshan. So, but Swami saw him from the corner of his eye and then Swami called him and Swami said, listen Bangaru, do you know why I didn't accept the footwear? See, all these poor villagers, they have come all the way And you see, they are so poor. Look at their clothes, look at their baggage. They're all so poor people.
Right.
They themselves are not wearing slippers. How do you expect me to wear slippers and go to them?
Yes. That really is an instance of how one Swami was with each one of us. And like the experience, if anybody you go to and you speak about their interaction with Bhagwan, there is one common feature that I have found in my experience and when I speak to others about it. And they say at that instance, when Swami is speaking to them, everything else disappears. It's as if the entire world disappears and there is only Bhagwan and them. Yes.
Yes. At that point of view, you feel Swami has come down all the way from heaven only for me.
Yes. And because he gives himself so totally that nothing else exists. You're not aware of anything else. And Swami is listening to you so attentively. Yes. I remember I was a youngster, people much younger to me, even if it was a primary school student, the attentiveness with which Swami used to listen to them, it used to make them feel that there was nothing else in the world except Swami at that particular moment of time. Yeah. And this aspect of when you say being one with someone else, actually love is, there is no other definition of love except this.
Yes.
Love is being totally one with the so-called, you know, what we perceive as the other person. And, you know, one incident I would recall again which happened when I was a student.
Mm-hmm.
So this was when the earthquake took place at Bhuj, which is a small town in Gujarat. Exactly on January 26th, 2001, which is the Republic Day of India. So as India was celebrating its Republic Day, the parade was going on. At around 9 a.m., there was a very powerful earthquake which struck the town of Bhuj.
It made a lot of news.
It completely leveled the town. I mean, the thousands were dead, many were left homeless with all their possessions completely gone in a matter of a few seconds. And at that time, if you recall, Swami was in Vrindavan.
Yes.
Because January 19th, he had just inaugurated the Whitefield Hospital. And so we students, I was in the first year of my MBA at that time. So we thought that, you know, we were moved by this incident. There is something we have to do. What is it that we can do, you know, for the people there in Bhuj? So we made an announcement over the intercom in the hostel that if people have any, you know, clothes which they are no longer using that they want to donate, any other articles which you feel you can donate which you're not using presently, kindly, you know, hand it over to us. And in, you know, in a matter of a day, we could put together all these items and we managed to ship it.
Something as a student community you wanted to do?
Yes, the entire hostel. We got together and it was something we did from our side for the people there. And Swami came down to Prashantirinam a few days later, and in this time, he had already made arrangements for a huge consignment of relief material to reach the town of Bhuj. So this was flagged off a few days after that, a convoy of 75 lorries consisting of 75,000 new dhotis, 75,000 new saris, and a host of material for something, for a temporary shelter even for the people.
Yes.
All this was packed in 75 lorries and the convoy was flagged off to Gujarat on that particular day. And that evening, the warden of the hostel, he felt that is an opportune time to please Swami by saying that what it is we students had done. As there
in Bhagwan was in Vrindavan. Yeah, spontaneously what students
had. Spontaneous gesture. It was a gesture of love.
Mm.
You know, nobody had asked us to even do it and we had done it. And I was there in the front row and I was like just waiting expectantly, you know, for that pat on the back or that, you know, praise, words of praise from Swami.
Yes.
I was just hoping that that was what would happen next.
Mm.
And you will not believe, even as a warden was narrating this whole sequence of events to Bhagwan, Bhagwan's face was slowly turning into a scowl.
Scowl?
Yes. Yeah. It's totally unexpected. And at that moment, I really began to wonder what is happening. And the warden stopped his narration, realizing that things are not going as
going
he expected.
Wrong.
Yes, and Bhagwan immediately started saying, "I cannot believe how insensitive you students can be."
Oh my God,
insensitive, insensitive. And I was just wondering where is this going. And Swami said, "See, when I sent material to those people in Gujarat, what did I send? I sent new dhotis and new saris, articles of use which are completely brand new. And what do you all send? Your used articles, your used clothes which you do not wear anymore. Is this what you sent?" And at that moment, believe me, sitting there when I look back, I think what we had then was a peek into the heart of God.
Absolutely.
See, the profundity of what love is something that became very apparent to me at that moment. We thought that we loved, but we did not even know the basic definition of love. For us, the people there in Gujarat, they were faceless, nameless identities. We did not have any idea of who they were, could not identify with them. But for Bhagwan, they were his own children. For Swami, they were like his own children. And in that, we had, you know, at that moment of their suffering, we had forgotten that they had dignity.
In fact,
and it is only Swami who could totally get that their dignity was still important to them.
In fact, that reminds me, I had the chance to speak to one of the elders whom Bhagwan sent along with this convoy.
Yes.
You know, now I remember that.
Yes.
Swami was very clear in their instructions that these lorries, all the items,
yes,
after they are downloaded from the lorries, should be personally given.
Yes.
To each person.
Absolutely.
Now, you should go to the person, speak to him lovingly and, you know, offer. It should not be just, you know, kept someplace and ask some other distributing agency to give it. And in fact, that elder was telling me that many people, you know, they said, this is the only organization which is treating us like
people.
Like people. Because he says, we are not beggars.
Yes.
You know, they were all people who were so well off.
Yes.
Just the previous night. And so they were really feeling so hurt when someone was, you know, throwing things at them or giving, you know, as if, you know, out of sympathy, pity and all that.
Right.
So, you know, here's the only organization which felt, you know, gave us that dignity. You know, we are not beggars. We this is the only group of people, you know, they felt that they were sort of felt cared for. And I think it's all comes down to what spirit always Swami himself did. And that's what percolated. In fact, if you look at Bhagwan's life, right from his childhood, you saw that. I mean, right from the time, is very beautifully is there in Satyam Shiva Sundaram, how Swami's father or grandfather would get clothes from Penukonda or Anandapur. And when all the clothes would come and, you know, all the children of the family would choose what they like, and Swami would always not pick up anything. And mother will say, Satyam, take something, choose. He said, no, I don't want anything.
And one of the youngest in the family.
One of the youngest in the family.
Yeah.
In fact, that used to be mother's worry. Why is this boy like this? Why is this boy not demanding I want this clothes? Why is this boy not... Why doesn't he have a choice? Why doesn't he want anything? That was a major concern of the mother.
Yeah. Totally not like a
totally
youngster,
not like a normal child. And in fact, and the other thing that we also read is, whenever Bhagwan heard a beggar's call, you know, he would just rush out of the house and offer food.
Yes.
And
whether he had eaten or not.
No, in fact, there were times when the members in the family would say that, you know, if you are going to give food to that beggar, you are not going to have food.
Yeah, you will have to forego
you
your
will have to
meals.
Forego. And Swami would not have food. In fact, after the repeated request to him also, he will refuse to have food. And there are instances where when he was very small and, you know, anyone came to the house asking for anything, you know, Swami would go to the house and look at his sisters very pleadingly, you know, as a, how a little one would say, you know, please do this for me. Please give something to these people. You know, he'll look at very pleadingly at his sisters asking, you have to do something. You have to give something. You know, sisters have to go into the house and bring out and give something.
Yes.
I mean, that's what, you know, you saw all this in, right, even before Bhagwan declared his avatarhood, you saw that in his life.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that is something, whenever I think of Bhagwan's personality, you know, that is always that kind of surfaces in your mind, how always he felt one with the other.
And it is, you know, very important to have a certain attitude when you're reading about Bhagwan. You see, it is very easy to keep saying that this is God and this came so naturally to him. Whereas if he wanted to demonstrate that he is God, he need not even have actually taken physical birth on this planet.
Yes.
There were so many different ways in which he could have shown his omnipresence and omniscience and his ability to for fortitude and patience. You see? So, what I like to sometimes do is to actually stand in his place as if it is a human. Or if I were that person who had to live through the life of being an avatar.
Yes.
And the kind of revelations that brings to me, you see, just having to stand as a teenager,
yes,
right there in a very remote hamlet and declare that I am God.
I'm going to change the world.
Yes. And in that, as one person said, Puttaparthi, even in the 1970s and 80s, was a stone's throw away from the Stone Age. And I'm talking about the 1940s.
Yes.
At that time, if Bhagwan could declare that, there will be a time when thousands upon thousands of devotees will converge from all over the world in this place. And you can just imagine that's actually a little boy. Just imagine you as a little boy who has the courage to make such declaration in front of such disbelieving people or yes. people sometimes from your own family.
Absolutely. As you mentioned, you know, as an avatar, he could have done anything else. He could have chosen any other life.
Yes.
But he chose to be born in such a rural hamlet mm. and lead such a... In fact, if you read Bhagwan's life, he said that Mother Isharamma and Peda Venkaparaju had only a grocery store, small grocery store.
Yes.
And Mother Isharamma...
So on their livelihood.
On their livelihood. And Mother Isharamma and Peda Venkaparaju used to go to Bukkapatnam with their groceries to sell.
Hmm.
Off and on.
Absolutely.
And that is how they earned... So Bhagwan was born into such a setting. And imagine someone like this, you know, he throws his books after 7th grade and when he's barely 20s, 1947,
yes.
he writes that, you know, that historic letter that he writes,
hmm.
saying, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to fill entire mankind with ananda. This is my woe. I am going to relieve the suffering of the poor. And you see, you're surrounded with poverty all around. And to make that declaration.
And in the 7 decades, like what has put that small little hamlet has
yes.
transformed into this township that we see today. It has
yeah.
got a super specialty hospital and university and so on,
yeah.
airport and an, you yes. know, very well settled township.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you see Bhagwan's personality, the determination to do something for the other was so powerful.
Yes.
In fact, one declaration that comes to my mind is, you know, making that declaration that I'm going to confer ananda humanity, this is my woe, I want to relieve the suffering of all those who are downtrodden, all those who need refuge.
Hmm.
And this is not something that was because of his divine powers.
Yes.
You know, people may think like that, but if you see the way Bhagwan did it,
yes.
he did it purely the way any person can do.
Yes.
Any person can do.
And it is very important to remember something that Swami has mentioned oftentimes in his discourses. Perhaps even on Radio Sai programs, we have mentioned this often. But it's very important to remember what Swami said about this.
Mm-hmm.
He said, in this land of Bharatvarsha, anybody who decides with a noble heart to take on a project that is for the service of humanity, the funds, whatever resources he needs, will automatically come to him.
Yes.
And which is why this place is called Karma Bhumi and Yoga yes. Bhumi.
In fact, I am always reminded of a very powerful saying which Bhagwan inspired Vivekananda to say. You know, he says, a pure will is omnipotent. And
okay.
I feel that is what you saw in Bhagwan's life, that purity. In fact, this purity, it reminds me of a very interesting incident actually. But actually that sort of sums up how whatever Bhagwan did, anyone else also can do.
Yes.
You know, there was this incident after this gymnasium was inaugurated. I think this is in the initial years of after the university came into being. I think sometime in the 80s,
okay.
the gymnasium came into being and, you know, there were new equipments, the horizontal bars, etc. were installed in the gymnasium.
Right.
And the boys, you know, working the muscles out and all that.
Right.
So one day Swami just suddenly dropped in as boys were doing the physical exercises.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami was very keenly watching what the boys were doing.
Right.
And Swami actually started suggesting to them how to do exercise, you know, how you should build your muscles and how to have a strong, well-built body, etc.
Hmm.
And as Bhagwan was saying all this, there's one boy, Satya Prasad,
mm-hmm.
you know, he just couldn't control. A smile escaped his lips.
Okay.
Okay, because he felt, I mean, he just felt Bhagwan is so delicate, is so frail, you know, Bhagwan advising us about building muscles and all that. He just felt that, you know, it was very out of place.
Out of place, yeah. Incongruous.
Incongruous. And then suddenly Swami looked at him and Swami shot back. Swami said, you think I don't know anything about exercise? And then Swami said, strength does not come from muscles.
Oh.
And then, you know what Swami did was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Swami put his elbow down on the one of the stables.
Okay.
And he invited that boy for a arm wrestling match.
Really? I never saw this coming. Yeah.
Yeah. This was narrated to me by someone who was there.
Okay.
Mr. Gopal Indreshwar, who was a student then.
Okay. Okay.
He was a 12th class student then. This is what he has narrated. So this was a lovely setting. Of course, that boy was actually happy that he made that comment and he smiled that smile because, you know, he's getting the chance to actually have a
personal interaction, unique interaction.
Yeah, intimate interaction with Bhagwan. So that's a beautiful scene, that gymnastic bench, a rustic setting, a student on one side, Bhagwan on the other side. They are locked in a battle, an arm wrestling match.
Hmm.
And, you know, the grip was strong. And this boy, who was actually a very well-built boy, he's almost Tarzan-like body he had.
Hmm.
So, but he, you know, he didn't want to really hurt Swami.
Right.
So, he was not really exerting much pressure, you know, to Swami. Swami invited for a farewell, but that is okay, you know. So he was not really exerting Swami. But after some time, they saw that his muscles are twitching. his veins are strained. And, you know, he felt, what is this? He was not able to move an inch. And then he started looking pleadingly at his brothers. You know, support me, hello. And then, you know, no one wanted to miss the chance. And they can hold Swami's hand, actually. And so, the 4 or 5 boys came together and they're trying their best to move Bhagwan's hand. They're not able to do. They're not able to move an inch. And then finally, bang, it falls and all of them lose.
Yes.
And they're shocked, actually. They never ever imagined that Swami had this much physical strength. He looked so delicate and so beautiful. You can't ever imagine that, you know, there's so much strength packed in his muscles.
Yeah, this is a convergence of like two very popular sayings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The boys will be boys. And then Swami himself saying that he's a child among children.
Yes.
Both. Yeah. And a happy synchronicity of the both.
And everything is ended and boys are shocked, and then Swami very playfully asks, Kaisa laga? How was it?
Right.
And you know, immediately the thought that came to them is, you know, Swami is God. Swami, nobody can fight you. You're God.
Yes.
So obviously. But you know, you can put down the whole world, they said. Swami said, no, I have come to put up the whole world, not to put down the whole world. And then Swami said, this was my physical strength. This was not my divine strength.
And which is a strength that is born out of purity.
Absolutely. That is exactly what Swami said. Swami said, from the day I have come down to the planet, till this day, I have not done any wrong. You know, if you can practice that do good, be good, see good, and you saw that Bhagavan practiced all his life.
Yes.
And Swami said, this is only because I am absolutely pure. I have not used my divinity at all. This was not my divine strength. It was my pure physical strength. That's what Bhagavan said.
And what a wonderful lesson, you know.
I felt this is such a powerful lesson of, you know, you can do anything with purity.
Hmm.
And that was Bhagavan's life as a testimony to that.
Right.
And as you mentioned, any projects that he took up, anything that he did, it was this purity.
Yes, absolutely.
That made everything happen.
And you can see this purity aspect in practically every, you know, service project that is taken up by the Central Trust. And, you know, whenever Bhagwan used to announce these projects, believe me, it wasn't as if the trust was, you know, it had surplus funds or funds available for the project. And Swami would just declare that this project has to happen.
Yes.
And at no point of time would he go around, you know, soliciting, saying that I need money for this particular project. That was never a fact or never something that he mentioned to people.
Yes.
It was just that I am going to undertake this project. That was all. That's the only declaration he would make.
Yes.
In fact, since I work in the Sathya Sai Central Trust office, I am aware that we had very strict instructions that we were never to solicit donations. In fact, for a very long time, we were debating whether or not to even to put a signboard that this is the donation office.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason we put it up is as a matter of convenience, because the devotees had no idea where they needed to go to make a donation.
Correct.
And even on the Central Trust website, there is no mention of donations. Like, we don't speak to people saying that you can donate for such and such project. It is just that we provide some basic details about the income tax exemptions that are available to devotees when they donate to the trust. There is no solicitation of any kind for any project.
What I personally believe is, like, whenever Bhagavan says that when you have a pure intention, things will just happen.
Yes.
His projects have been a testimony to that.
Yes.
And today, if you see so many service projects that are being taken up by so many seva organizations, you see that happen actually.
Yes.
You know, every time, be it a samiti or a Sai center, they take up a service project. They have this noble intention, and we all have been witness to the fact that how, if you are pure, things just happen.
Yeah, the mysterious ways in which the problems just dissipate, whatever obstacles that come, the way they totally disappear.
Yes.
Just out of that pure intention and sticking to that faith in Swami.
Absolutely. So, I would say another very beautiful facet of Bhagwan, which always amazes me whenever I think about is the physical personality of Bhagwan, is this aspect of discipline, you know, the kind of discipline that you saw in Swami. I mean, imagine someone for almost 80 years doing the same thing. 70 years he's been coming every day at the same time for darshan, doing, you know, every day taking letters, every day listening to people, every day coming out morning and evening twice and just following that routine. And I know that in every morning, Bhagwan would get up early and he would walk in his residence for 40-45 minutes.
Yes, so one of the students who stayed with Bhagwan, he had shared this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that Swami used to walk, as you mentioned, inside his room. He would pace up and down for about 40 minutes. In those 20 minutes, Swami would do it alone. And this is a very charming thing the student revealed. Swami would, after 20 minutes, he would call this student also inside. And then he also had to do the walking. And the thing was that he would walk in the opposite direction of Bhagwan.
Mm-hmm.
And he would say Bhagwan would not utter a word. So you can just visualize that scene of Swami pacing up and down and the student also pacing up and down. And neither would exchange a word nor a look.
Wow.
So that was a very interesting interview.
Yeah, but that's what Bhagwan showed us, you know, if you have that much discipline in life.
Yes.
And we have seen whenever programs were there, Bhagwan would be ready much before.
Yes.
We always know that if our scheduled program in the Monday is 4 o'clock, we better be there at 3 o'clock because you don't know Bhagwan can come out at 2:30.
Absolutely. And this was one very important principle which he has built into the entire organization, to the trust, the ashram. So discipline is a very important facet of life in the ashram as well as any spiritual center of Bhagwan. I remember that any Satya Sai Samiti, any Satya Sai center, if they declare that the bhajan begins at 5:30 in the evening, it would just begin exactly at 5:30.
Yes.
And that is a discipline with which the entire organization has grown.
Yes.
And it is known for that discipline.
In fact, I was listening to one discourse of Bhagwan. This is way back in 1970s. And Swami very clearly says that if you have discipline, everything will come to you.
Yes.
Everything will come to you.
Yes. So that is the foundation for everything that we do in our lives.
Life. And we saw Bhagwan doing that, you know. Whenever you look at Bhagwan's personality, you see that he did this not for one day, 2 days, or for 2 years, or 3 years, but for decades.
Yes.
The whole concept of perseverance on a disciplined path. And he had taken a physical form. There was no need for him to do all that.
Yes.
But he did it.
Sticking to the same routine.
Yes.
Even in the discourses, like from time to time, he would talk about the same aspects time and again.
Yes.
In so many discourses.
In fact, I remember of that saying, Bhagwan, in that 70th birthday discourse, he said, I am God, yes, but you can also become God. Swami said, and there are three ways that you can become God.
Oh.
Remember, Swami gave three principles. Swami said, if you do these three things, even you can become like me.
Right.
And Swami said these three words, purity, patience, perseverance.
Wow. So three principles.
Three principles. And whenever I think about Bhagwan, you know, these things just come up. The manner with which he had so much patience with all of us.
Right.
Tremendous patience with all of us.
Yeah.
And the purity of his being. I think all the transformation, you know, that happens in people's hearts, all the funds that come for the trust to do all the mammoth projects, I feel it all boils down to this personality of Bhagwan. You know, that absolute purity. You know, when he becomes a mirror, he becomes so pure that, you know, every person sees their reflection in his personality.
Right.
And that is how transformations happen. And if Bhagwan did that, I personally believe that each one of us can also do that.
Yes.
We have to start the process of cleansing ourselves.
When you narrated that incident of Swami in the gym, there was one saying or one thing that Swami would speak about often in discourses that came to mind, that the ideal teacher is one who is like the drill sergeant or the drill master. Because he cannot demonstrate to his pupils merely by saying it out. He has to do it himself.
Yes.
And that is what we see in Bhagwan, that he was that ideal teacher.
Yes.
Every single principle, every single thing that he preached, that was already there in practice in his life. And we could absorb those lessons only because we could see that in action every single day.
Yes. And I think for us to call ourselves devotees,
yes,
we will have to take these lessons and put it in our lives. Because, you know, I remember that very famous thing, the episode of Father Damien. Father Damien, you know, he was sent to the Hawaiian settlement in Molokai, a small island in which lepers were quarantined too, and he was serving there. In fact, he eventually contracted with the disease and he succumbed to the disease.
Right.
But, you know, when people asked him, are you okay doing what you're doing? He said, my Lord Jesus, he gave his entire life for mankind. How can I call myself a follower of Christ if I'm not willing to give myself away in service?
Yes. That's a very touching lesson, Vishnu.
Yes. And there is this thing, you know, Swami Vivekananda once said that if I can show the world one glimpse of my master through my life, I shall not have lived in vain.
Right.
And I think that is something, when we look at Bhagwan's life and as his physical personality, you know, everything that he did,
yes,
all these years, I think that is something for us to reflect on and just see that, you know, all that he did doesn't go in vain.
Yes. So this is something like, you know, always we pray to Bhagwan for something from him, that Swami, can you please give me, like, I need your grace, I need your love, and these are our prayers. But Bishu, like, when sometimes when I do this, when I pray this, I'm suddenly aware that this is a prayer of practically everybody on the planet. And I imagine again, you know, like being in Swami's place, and all these prayers are coming to me. And suddenly I realized that
suppose you are Swami and all these prayers are coming
to you. Yes, I am standing there and sitting there in Swami's place and receiving all these prayers. And when I imagine that, I suddenly realized that there is absolutely no one who is asking Swami, Swami, what is it that I can do for you? What is it that you want of me? So one day when I had this realization, I was sitting there, you know, in Mandir, in Swami's presence, and tears started flowing out of my eyes when I realized that none of us really think, what is it that we can do for Bhagwan? And there is only one thing that we can offer to Bhagwan, and that is this promise, that is this our word to Swami, that we shall put His message into practice in our daily lives.
Absolutely.
Because of the intensity, because of the love with which He has demonstrated every single principle in His own life.
Absolutely, Hari. I think that is something for each one of us who call themselves His students, His devotees, to ponder on.
Yes.
And I think that will be our gift to Bhagwan. If we ponder on this, reflect and think what we can do for Him. Ultimately, what we can do for our own happiness, but which will make Him proud.
Yes.
I think that would be our offering to Him on this birthday.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Hari. I think there is something for all of us to ruminate on. Let's take this opportunity to think about Him and pray that we become sparks of His love and His life.
Thank you, Bishu, for having me on this program. It was to reflect on Bhagwan's life, as usual, is very uplifting.
Yes.
But in particular, like reflecting on Him as not merely divine, but as a human who used to exhibit divine qualities. That has been very inspiring for me. Thank you so much, Bishu.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So that was the conversation that I had with Hari Shankar just a couple of days ago on November 19th evening. And I think all that we wanted to communicate was said in the last 5-10 minutes of this discussion. Swami is always happy. We wish Swami happy birthday, but Swami is always happy. He said that you be happy. Swami used to always say, I am happy. We have to be happy. And we can be happy only when we do things that Swami feels happy, that makes Swami proud. Swami is always happy, but we can do things which will make Him proud, which will make Him say that, yes, this child of mine is finally on the right path. This soul on whom I have showered so much love is finally taking to my message and finally experiencing that happiness that I wanted him to experience all the time. I came down and I suffered so much because I wanted him to experience happiness, and finally he is taking those steps. So let us not lose this opportunity. Let us think, as Hari said, what can we do for Bhagwan? There is nothing that we can ever do for Bhagwan. Whatever we do for Bhagwan will be ultimately for our own good, for our own happiness. So let us use this landmark occasion of his birthday to take one more step in purifying ourselves and in transforming our lives, in sanctifying our lives, in finding fulfillment in our lives. With these words and thoughts, I leave you. Thank you so much for joining for this episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. I am Team Dresai's Bishu, and it's time to draw the curtains on this program of Thursday Live. You have been listening to live programs right from morning. The birthday season is on, and let's pray and hope that this birthday season becomes a new beginning for us in our lives, in our journey towards love, in our journey towards selfless service. Thank you so much, and even as I sign off, you will continue to listen to a drama presented by devotees from Indonesia in front of Bhagwan on 10th September 2010 at Prashant Nilayam. It's entitled In Search of Paradise. So this was presented in front of Bhagwan in 2010. So enjoy listening to this. And finally, from all of us at Radio Sai, a sweet good night and loving Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam.